You're listening to the Effective Statistician Podcast, a weekly podcast with Alexander Schacht and Benjamin Pieske, designed to help you reach your potential, lead great science, and serve patients without becoming overwhelmed by work. Today I'm talking with Benjamin about bad quality from programmers and or data management, and how to avoid it, because this is really the last thing we want, because we rely on these people very, very often as statisticians. So stay tuned, and now some music. If you listen to this episode directly when it comes out, I hope you had a nice break over Easter. I'm actually taking a couple of days off to spend time with my family, so this is actually coming out when I'm not working. One of these nice things of working in such an environment where I can have everything prepared and then it just comes out when it's scheduled. Of course, this is also only possible because I have this awesome team at VVS, Rain and her team, who help with the show in the background and make all these kind of things possible. But, you know, we have a really, really nice tool that release these episodes when they should be released, usually when I'm not a little bit late with things. So today we are talking about bad quality, light deliverables from programmers and data management. I don't know, probably every statistician has that at some point in their career, very often earlier than later, that you get something and then you give it forward to someone else and then there's some problems with it. And this is really, really bad. So today Benjamin and myself will talk about what you can do to improve these kind of different things. As this episode is released, we are just 2 weeks away from the first conference of the Effective Statistician, which happens on April 25th. It's a 5-hour conference packed with lots of great speakers like Kaspar Rufibach, Alex Dimitrenko, Jenny Davenport, Gary Sullivan, and many more that are really absolute experts in their field. And we'll talk about estimates, Bayesian designs, multiplicity, medical affairs, influencing, data visualization, digital health applications, and many more interesting topics that will help you become a more effective person, a more effective statistician. Please tell your colleagues also about it. I know that investments in terms of training are very, very limited and not equally distributed across the different companies and also not within the different companies. Here it's just about an investment in yourself. You just need to block these 5 hours in your calendar so that you can learn during this time. And investing in yourself is the best thing that you can do whatsoever. I once had this day where we were talking about all kind of different financial investments that you can do with financial investment expert. And in the end, he summed it up. And by the way, the best financial investment is in your own skills, because that is what you completely control and nobody can take it away from you. So invest at least these 5 hours into your personal development. I'm producing this podcast in association with PSI, a community dedicated to leading and promoting the use of statistics within the healthcare industry for the benefit of patients. Join PSI today to further develop your statistical capabilities with access to the video on demand content library, free registration to all PSI webinars, and much, much more. Head over to the PSI website at psiweb.org to learn more about PSI activities and become a PSI member today. Welcome to another episode of The Effective Statistician, and I'm really happy I'm talking with Benjamin today. How are you doing?
Thanks, Alex. Yeah, it's been a while, right? So last time I think we canceled the last meeting, and today it's really like an interesting topic, and it's already winter in Germany, so that's a bit long time ago we spoke last time.
Yeah, it's the topic today is something that is coming up quite a lot. Yeah, so whenever there's two functions working together and there's handovers and these kind of things, there's always tension. Yeah, about quality. It's when we hand over tables to medical writing or to physicians and they need to work with it and they're not happy with it, then that creates tension on that side. But of course, there's also the people that deliver stuff to us, like data management and programming. And now, yeah, things can go south there as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's statisticians usually feel like being the end in the line, right? We actually deliver the results. So yeah. Meaning that anything that comes before, so anything that has been processed, the data or whatever, is if everything goes well, it's fine. If it comes late, it's gonna who's having the trouble to deliver? It's the statistician. So that's why I realized I had this quite often in my career, that there was quite a bit of, as you said, tension, misunderstanding, let's put it this way, miscommunication, and especially really fighting then at the end if it's getting late and there's a timeline to deliver for, and there's not much on flexibility that we usually have at this side.
Yeah, and then it's very often the finger pointing and the blame game starts and these kind of things, which are all situations you don't want to end up in. Now, Benny, what are your kind of approaches to ensure that this doesn't happen?
This is a difficult question. It's a long answer. First of all, if it's delivered in poor quality or if it's delivered too late, it is too late. So the most pragmatic or the best approach is really to avoid getting there. And what I'm trying to incorporate is, first of all, good communication. You shouldn't be surprised if there's something not going right. So there could be in data quality, could be that about dry runs, it could be about data checks, whatsoever that the statistician could do, or maybe at least in general have this performed before. For any delay, always keep on asking if everything is on track. And I know it doesn't have, you often get the response, yeah, everything is on track. And then actually last night before delivering, there's some problem coming up. So there's a lot of communication needed and mutual understanding. So in a way of our counterparts or like our partners, let's put it this way rather, they should understand why we in this content, like maybe good quality and delivery and time to understand maybe our process, at least get a sense of how long does it actually take for us to perform our part of the work at the end. And on the other hand, it's good for us to understand what's going on their desks. So what are their concerns? What are their troubles in getting it done? None of them are happy if they deliver bad quality or too late. So there must be like a reason, like a pain for them as well. And so that's why that's the like the very basic approach of the mutual understanding and a lot of good communication.
Yeah, I think what you said, giving them a bigger picture. What is the ultimate deliverable here? Yeah, how will that look like? Giving them more kind of understanding of the little things that they are doing, how is this fitting into the bigger picture? If they look into, don't know, co-medications or things like that, would that be a protocol violation? Or would that trigger some kind of looking into AEs or whatsoever? Giving them more kind of understanding of what exactly they're doing there and why they're doing it. I think that is really important, because otherwise it's really difficult for people to understand what to do when these weird patients that we always have, there's always a weird patient that kind of falls through the cracks and comes up whenever you do your programming checks. There's these couple of patient numbers that always come up. And if you don't know what's the ultimate goal is, it's really difficult to manage these patients. The other point is also, you can, of course, have lots of details in your documentation, but you can never foresee everything. Yeah. And then the people need to have the trust with you to bring these up.
So I think the trust part and building trust is really important at the beginning.
Yeah, I think there's, in theory, it's ideal, right? If the statistician is being involved as the trusted partner from the very beginning throughout everything. In reality, we often get challenged, especially on the CRO side, in terms of the time that the statistician actually has. So the involvement, so the planning. So there's a lot about planning. For example, to when we discuss individual cases of weird patients or weird subject data, that is something that the statistician is not always happy being involved, simply because of they don't have time to discuss data management, patients' issues. So that is, I do agree to that, and that in general, that is not the statistician's responsibility to discuss every question. But there should be some questions that they should be involved in what to do. Is this, for the simplest approaches to getting them on the table saying, is it important to have this data? So what would you do with the data if you have it? Does it have any impact in anything like on the primary, secondary, whatsoever endpoints? Or is this simply now about complete data? So that is a general discussion that the statisticians or data management or everyone on the table should have at some point in time. But on the other hand, we shouldn't end up saying, I have a question, let's ask the statistician. So that's not going to work. That's
reality. Striking a balance there.
Exactly.
So of course, the critical questions you want to be asked. But of course, on the other hand, you don't want to get lots of questions that the data management could solve themselves. But that if you have a good relationship, then this mutual understanding kind of comes over time. And this mutual understanding of what good looks like. Just saying we want high quality doesn't mean anything. Because what exactly is high quality?
Complete data is not good data. No, that is absolutely true. And that loops back to the point of good planning and the good communication. So where we say really they need to be closely working together and understanding what is needed. And then you can definitely just check in on some data points saying, is this obviously priority of where should we start with? And you can teach or make them understand what actually goes into what endpoint, etc. So there's a lot of communication. But again, it's always it's a bit of a balance between time and abilities.
The other balance is regarding process and people. I think when over time things go south and there's this mistake in the different companies, then people try to put more and more effort into more sophisticated processes, more checks. And I've seen that go so far that the statisticians check everything in the end. And that's a wrong approach, I think. You can only manage with processes to a certain point. You also need to involve the people side. And sometimes it's just more effective to pick up the phone or set up a meeting and talk to each other rather than to try to document everything in somewhere to the last detail and have everything kind of cross-checked. The other point in terms of cross-checking, I think, is ensuring just by checking, you don't transfer responsibility. Just because as a statistician, I checked something, it's not becomes my responsibility that everything is fine. The responsibility of delivering high quality data, the responsibility of delivering high quality tables, figures, and listings still stays with the programmers and the data managers. Just because you have checked something doesn't mean that now it's your responsibility.
Yeah, and also just to turn it around, we discussed this in earlier episodes, is that the responsibility of our interaction with, for example, medics, right? We do require, or we often experience that the more important people get, the less they actually look into the SEPs and the shells. Because they look into the shells because they don't have time, look into the shells once they are filled with numbers. And then they realize it's not telling me what I need to see. But so why wasn't this picked up when reviewing the SAP or the shells? Because they didn't spend time, or they didn't, not enough and not thoughtful enough. And that is exactly the same that one, when we turn it around and say, we get data management documents, for example, or for programming specifications, just saying, yes, that's fine, I trust you, it's a good thing. However, at the end, it's what they deliver to us. And if we don't spend the time to at least review, patience is not everything, definitely not. But this is giving the framework of what we receive at the end. So we need to spend time, think it through, understand what they are going to discuss it if needed. So if your understanding, if you feel your understanding isn't good enough, then discuss it, pick it up. And because this is how they need our support. And at the end, they would deliver something incorrect or maybe suboptimal if we don't spend the time now with them.
Yeah, completely agree. Speaking about when things need to be reviewed, how much they get reviewed, what exactly gets reviewed, these kind of things. This is also neutral understanding of what will happen and making time for that. I think that's a more and more important topic that I see all the time, that people are so much under pressure that people have the maybe are so much under pressure that they try to get into shortcuts and say, I trust. I just review at a very high level.
Yeah, I trust you. But it's going back to my earlier point, is that we still need to find a balance in everything. And I strongly believe, and I see that this is especially in the company I'm working now, that the leads, like the people that are responsible for their tasks as data management or especially a programming lead, they take their responsibilities, right? So the statistician is involved. However, the statistician is not trying to cover everything. So these people, they're great, right? We do have, not only statisticians are great, right? So it's really that they have, everyone has the capacities to the skill set to do their job, usually. So I would expect this. And if not, that is something that they need to challenge internally. But so it's not about taking over, it's not about being involved in everything. It's about being involved as needed and have a good communication. So understand what's going on and be on top of at least like timelines, the next steps in the whole process, what's coming up, where do we stand? Get the understanding, but don't mess around and try to do it's not going to work. So we have to find a very good balance so that everyone is satisfied with moving forward and internally.
Yeah. And if there's something and the other point is when things don't go as you think they should have been done, the quality is not what you expected, you need to have good way of dealing with these kind of things. Yeah. Don't directly get upset. Ask why, where is this coming from? Yeah. Is there something that we haven't thought about? Is there something in the process that we missed? There's so many kind of reasons why something didn't went as planned and looks odd in the tables.
Yeah, but I would say that first of all, we should be focusing on getting it still done.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I fully agree with what you said, but I always say once we delivered, once things are out or whatever task this is, we need to sit together and understand what's going wrong. So this is really like a question for lessons learned meeting or whatever you might call it. Because first, we need to be very pragmatic and moving forward and getting, if you have a delay, if you have quality workarounds, find, I don't know, maybe support or anything that helps us to get it corrected. But the questions that you ask,
So what you shouldn't do is directly kind of escalating things.
No.
And so directly copying the supervisor of the other person and things like that. That's not good practice. Yeah. Pick up the phone, talk to the people, and just ask questions. I thought these two different sample sizes should be the same. Why is it not?
It's a tough question. So if you ask a question, you are quite in trouble.
Maybe there's this kind of, there was a missing covariate. Yeah. And therefore numbers reduced, whatever. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe there's good reasons for that. You never know. And then you can always say, let's add a footnote so that it's clear. These type of things. Okay. Very good. So we talked a lot about how to avoid getting into these problems by having good discussions about big picture, about having mutual understanding of what quality looks like, having mutual understanding about how the process looks like, having mutual understanding on what is a review level and all these kind of different things. And being clear on who's responsible for what, I think is really important. And then when things or mistakes happen or look like mistakes, have a good discussion about them with a mindset of fixing it rather than blaming people. That's really important. And later on, have some kind of post-mortem where you look into lessons learned. Do we need to change something? Any final thought on this topic, Benjamin?
Yeah, you said, but just adding is we are all human, right? So it's about working together with colleagues. So that's the primary understanding that I usually have and saying we all make mistakes, as you said. But it's really be calm, keep it open. You're brainy, so you're smart. So you'll work it out. So you'll make it happen. Be positive about it.
Yeah, keep calm is often easier said than done.
Absolutely.
If timelines are pressing, but keep calm is a... It's a really
But it helps. And at the end, you're quicker if you keep calm. And because you're just more, you allow your head and your brains to still function if you're not upset.
Yeah. Okay, very good. I hope you enjoyed this discussion about quality and working together. And tune in for the next episode.
All right. Bye-bye.
Have you already registered for the Effective Statistician Conference on April 25th? If yes, great. Tell your peers about it. Tell your colleagues about it. If no, head over to theeffectivestatistician.com/conference and sign up today. This show was created in association with PSI. Thanks to Rain and her team at VVS who helped with the show in the background. And thank you for listening. Reach your potential, lead great science, and serve patients. Just be an effective statistician.